From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Lots going on tonight. Later on, are numbers evil, like 666, numbers like that. Hey, by the way, I had my KFI is our huge affiliate here in Los Angeles, and many months ago, we had an auction going for the Red Cross. And a fellow by the name of Dave from Bel Air, California, bid $1,500 just to have dinner with me. We had that tonight. He brought his lovely wife with him. We had a great time in Burbank. And I came back to the studio here to get ready for the show. But David, thank you and your wife for what you did for the Red Cross. It's an amazing. He bid, by the way, because you're probably going to wonder, $1,500 just for that. How about that? An Egyptian court has sentenced three Germans and six Egyptians to 5 years in jail for stealing fragments of an artifact from Cairo's Great Pyramid. And guess what? This could mean lots of trouble for the former head of antiquities, Zahi Hawass. He is in deep trouble. They're beginning to hone in on him and whether he, too, may be responsible for some of these thefts. In Greece, archaeologists are holding their breath that a skeleton found in a very mysterious, richly decorated tomb from the time of Alexander the Great will solve the riddle of who ancient Greece's biggest burial mound was built for. That's cool. A European robot probe has made the first historic landing on a comet. Incredible technology, but its status is uncertain after harpoons failed to anchor it to the surface. Officials said the craft may have lifted off the comet after touchdown before bouncing back to the surface. Let's check in with space historian Robert Zimmerman. Robert, one, I got to say, a great technological feat, wasn't it?
An incredible mission. Europeans should be very proud of themselves. I mean, the thing's been in orbit for a decade. It's in space. It's done a flyby of Earth, a flyby of Mars. It went past two asteroids, took pictures, and now it's come to its original goal, Comet 67PCG, and it's successfully launched this lander and landed it. I mean, we still don't know exactly its status, but it's just an incredible achievement, and I think we're going to get more out of the fly because it's still functioning. It's just a question of how well it's anchored to the surface.
Well, that's true. Now, this was a mission that was taking years and years and years. So what do you think might have happened? So it touches down, the harpoon's supposed to keep it in place. It kind of bounced again, obviously. The comet's moving and everything's going on. Could it have been damaged, Robert?
Well, no. There's several things going on. For one thing, it's a very light gravity, and so there's lots of material on the surface. In fact, the landing site, I've got a picture on behind the black, a close-up of the landing site, and I make the comment that much of that landing site looks like it's a pile of very soft dust. Well, the thing came in, and they said it was softer than expected. The thing could be buried in dust for all we know.
Yeah,
and the harpoons,
that's true.
They haven't fired them, but they're going to give it a try. It sounds like they're going to try again to get them fired to anchor it down. The reason it needs to get anchored is it's got a drill, and they want to drill into the surface. If there's anything to drill into, it might be dust. But if they want to drill into the surface to try to get some spectroscopy and some soil analysis to try to understand what the materials of the comet is. This comet's going to do its flyby of the sun, move into the close, and then we're going to have the coma and a tail, and not a big one, but Rosetta's going to be there studying it as it does that, and this is going to go for the next year. It's going to be an ongoing adventure. It's really exciting.
And, Bob, maybe the harpoons failed to anchor because, like you said, maybe it's in dust.
Well, yeah, that's an interesting question. They first thought the harpoons had fired, and then they said they did not. And they're going to give us a press briefing tomorrow, an update. So they're analyzing their data. It's very possible. We don't know yet. So we'll get a better, clearer idea. It is settled on the surface, and it is functioning. That much we know. They have not released any pictures, and they said they were going to release a picture, but they haven't yet. So we don't know yet what the status is. It's worth waiting for. This is really cool.
Bob's website, BehindTheBlack.com. Bob, thanks so much. The number of people killed by the worst outbreak of Ebola has now risen to 5,160. The frequency of new cases no longer appears to be increasing in Guinea and Liberia, but remains very high in Sierra Leone, the health agency is reporting. The Ebola outbreak is thought to have infected more than 14,000 people, almost all of them in West Africa. The deaths of three more people in Mali have been reported in the last day. What is up with Russians, Vladimir Putin? What's he up to? NATO has seen Russian military equipment and Russian combat troops entering Ukraine this week. Now, the NATO chief says he is urging Russia to pull back its forces. Russia's defense ministry is denying sending troops to eastern Ukraine to help pro-Russian separatists. So then what are people seeing? And if that's not enough, in a show of military muscle amid tensions with the West, Russia will send long-range strategic bombers on regular patrol missions across the globe, from the Arctic Ocean to the Gulf of Mexico. Black Friday. The hype is real. So real, in fact, that two California women have already started camping out at a Best Buy in anticipation of the annual shopping holiday. Now, of course, Black Friday is the Friday after Thanksgiving where so many people go out to shop for deals. Catherine Austin Fitz, the investment advisor, is with us. Catherine, I've got to ask you this. I wouldn't sit outside of a store for a week and a half.
George,
would you?
I can't believe you asked me to talk about this subject because I've never once gone shopping on Thanksgiving weekend.
Nor have I.
I'm afraid. It's dangerous.
It is. But anyways, retailers are hoping for a booming into Christmas season. Are they going to get it?
You know, George, I don't know. I think the online guys are going to do well this year. The question is, are the bricks and mortar retail? I've been looking at the statistics on the Thanksgiving weekend season. So it's Black Friday. And now, of course, they have Cyber Monday, which is what the online stores push. But they're now saying that last year in the surveys, 249 million people shopped this weekend and spent $61 billion. That's enormous. I mean, the numbers for this period have been rising dramatically. Now, interestingly enough, on Cyber Monday, we have Alibaba.
That's right.
Jumping
huge
in this
company.
So I think the retail competition is going to be fierce, and that's going to generate a lot of interest and activity. So it's extending. You can see it's going into Monday. So I think this is going to be very interesting to watch. But my prediction is the online guys will do pretty well. And I think it's going to be spotty for the retail, for the bricks and mortar.
If I don't talk to you before Thanksgiving, have a great one, okay?
You too, George.
Catherine Austin Fitz, her website, Solari, SOLARI.com. People in Kansas and Oklahoma expected to shiver because of the coming cold wave, but nobody prepared for the shaking caused Wednesday afternoon by an earthquake 4.8 magnitude. That's pretty good size. No injuries or damage reported. In New York, emergency crews rescued two window washers who were trapped on a hanging platform dangling, can you believe this, at the 68th floor of the 1,776-foot One World Trade Center building in Lower Manhattan. Rescue workers used a diamond saw to tear through layers of glass panes, the thickest nearly 2 inches, to pull those workers to safety. Now, as you know, we've talked in the past about indigo children, star kids, the crystalline children. We're going to be talking about the children of the now evolution in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Looking forward to this. Meg Blackburn Losey, PhD, author of 9 books. Her latest, The Children of Now Evolution, the best-selling book she's had, Touching the Light, The Secret History of Consciousness, the international bestseller, The Children of Now. Dr. Meg is the creator of the Touching the Light healing modality and offers some certification courses there. She also puts together group journeys to sacred sites in Scotland, England, Ireland, Peru, Bolivia, Egypt, and Mexico. And here she is on Coast to Coast. Meg, welcome to the program.
Hey, George, thanks so much. I just love Coast to Coast, and I'm thrilled to talk to you tonight.
I would think, now, I've interviewed thousands of guests in my career. Mm-hmm. I think this is the first time you've been on the program.
It is.
Okay. Now, sometimes folks have been on with Art, and I haven't had them on, but this is the first time for you on the show.
I know. I'm really excited to talk with you and everyone that's listening.
We have talked in the past on the program with some others, Meg, about star kids and indigos, crystalline kids as well. You have honed in on this book, The Children of Now Evolution, mm-hmm. where the sub says how we can support the fast forward evolution of our children and all of humanity. I'm going to ask you, first of all, these children, who are they?
they're everyone's children, really. You know, George, several years back when I wrote the first book, The Children of Now, it was a great little book about a phenomenon that seemed to have a small niche in our society with kids that did amazing things, spoke telepathically, touched people and healed them, remembered past lives, and even choosing their parents before they were conceived, and a lot of other really amazing things. And I noticed in my alternative healing practice that these kids had different trends, and I coined some of those terms you just mentioned in The Children of Now. And then I got out in public, and I started talking to people, and they were really interested, and they had questions I had never considered. And I was really forced to step back and look at, okay, what's really going on here? Because I'm hearing things about GMOs and vaccines and ADHD.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Autism and Asperger's. And I'm thinking, this is too big to be just these kids. And so I stepped back and I really looked at it. And what I realized, and we've all been seeing it for a number of years, that humanity is waking up to different ways of being, different ways of thinking, even how to use consciousness for different things. And, you know, we're the bridge generation, you, me, the people that are listening for the most part. And we're the ones that had weird things in our lives. We had intuitive nature. We knew who was on the phone. You know, we had some kind of weird things that happened. And we hid that, or we were ostracized for it, and many of us just didn't speak up about it. But as we got older, we started to really look at that. And because we did, and so many of us did, literally all over the world, as you know, I literally am traveling constantly. Mm-hmm. And what I saw was that there are so many of us out there with all of these weird ideas, however it looks for each of us, that stepped into that and said, it doesn't matter, I am who I am, and me personally, weird is wonderful. So we set the stage for an incredible event, and that is for consciousness in human nature to take a phenomenal leap into our children. They're being born with really high frequency energy fields, really high frequency. You know, everybody is put together harmonically. Energy is harmonic. It's light, color, sound, and all of that rolls together to make each of us. Each of us is unique, as are these kids that are being born. The difference is their energy fields, and I literally see this stuff. That's what I teach. And what I saw at first, you know, the indigos came out in the 80s, and they've been talked about, and that is so awesome because the world knows that term now. But there's a lot happening since then that isn't getting the attention that it needs.
And that would be what?
These children are getting damaged greatly by society, by the way we run our schools, by the vaccine, not the vaccines themselves, but what's in them.
Yeah. And when you say damage, you're talking about physically, mentally, or both?
Physically. What I have seen, and I have personally witnessed, these aren't just studies. I've got a lot of research in the book, but I have actually witnessed children have vaccines and absolutely hit the dirt. Children that were perfectly normal and then all of a sudden became dysfunctional in some way physically, to anywhere from having seizures to a total vegetative state.
I suggest, though, Meg, that this has probably been going on even beyond that.
It has been.
You know, I'm a kid from the 60s and 50s. I wish I were the 60s. And, you know, I remember getting vaccines and fluoride treatments in school. I've got the simian monkey virus in me, I'm sure, from the polio vaccines and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it sounds to me that the pattern has been, since I can remember, children are getting tainted.
Absolutely. But now it's different. And here's why. modern medicine does not consider the subtle energy field, okay? The subtle energy field is filled with consciousness. Who we are is not just our mind. We're a lot more than that. And the rest of that energy that we have is electromagnetic in nature. Our brain works in an electrical way. And so when you put a vaccine in a child that has something like mercury, which is a conductive material that has been studied for use as fuel interstellar travel, and you put that in a vaccine as a carrier, along with other things like thimerosal, there's a whole list of them, into a very high frequency subtle energy field, what happens is that conductive material in these high frequency kids is literally expanding consciousness away from the body to different degrees. And that's why we're having such a spectrum of autism and Asperger's and that kind of thing. You know, we've got a double-edged sword. Vaccines are really good, but it's what they put in to carry the vaccine through the body that's done so much damage. And I'm all for vaccines. Don't hear this wrong. What I'm not okay with is, you know, what they're putting in them and what I'm seeing day after day with these kids. And there are studies that go both ways. And I tried to prevent a really equal argument in the book, but I got to tell you, George, what I have witnessed is perfectly normal children, good for 3 months or 6 months or 18 months, hit the dirt. I mean, in full-blown seizures, in total dysfunction, and become very, what I call, differently abled as a result of that. It doesn't mean they're broken. They're just different, and that's where we're hurting a lot of them. The other piece of that whole picture is that a lot of these kids are getting drugged. They're labeled ADD and ADHD, and even bipolar in some cases. Why? Because they get into situations socially and they move around a lot. They don't sit still and nobody understands why. They just think by old standards, and that's part of the problem, that these kids are being misbehaved. They want them to act in a linear fashion, sit at their desks in an environment that's full of visual and aural clutter and not move while they're supposed to be learning by rote. Well, these kids' minds work different. With higher consciousness also comes higher intelligence. You see it in the news all the time. You see kids that are inventing things. You see kids that are stepping up socially at age 10 and 11, and they're saying, there's too many homeless in my village. I'm going to do something about it. The kids in my school don't have equal lunches. I'm standing up for it. I'm running a food drive. We don't know enough about pancreatic cancer. I'm going to make bracelets, and I'm going to sell them and donate that money to cancer research studies. And it goes on and on and on how brilliant these kids are. And I estimate that about 40 to 45% as of this time have some of the traits that we'll be talking about tonight. It's a phenomenon. It includes an epidemic, and it includes abuse because of the way we're desensitizing the kids. You know, basically our psychology has outgrown our technology, and it's a great big picture, and I'd love to break it down as we talk tonight.
And Meg, you know, just in October when we had the fatal shooting near Seattle in that area, sad story with four teenagers dying from injuries sustained in the shooting and then the shooter killing himself. Yet everybody said he was a nice guy. You know, he was, you know, elected as one of the prom attendees and everything else. People liked him.
Yeah.
Are we creating this?
Yeah, we are. We have actually contributed to creating a generation of child murderers. And that's a strong statement, and I'll stand by it.
It's huge.
Yeah. And why I say that is because these kids are being desensitized. The technologies are so vast that they're being depersonalized. They're losing sight of what a person really means, what the value of another human being is. We've got video games that are so real, they're just mind-blowing. And the hero dies, and he gets up, and he keeps fighting, and if he loses, you just get another one. And then we have technology coming at them, media, you know, everything, real-time, live, constantly, all of the time. And their shows aren't as conscientious as yours is, you know? And they're being told what to be and how to be it and what's cool and not what's not cool. And they're told they have to be tough and so many different things.
All right, Meg, hold on for a sec. We're going to take this quick break. We will come right back with you. Our special guest, Meg Blackburn-Losey. Her book, The Children of Now Evolution. Next hour, we'll take your calls. Perhaps you have an Indigo, a star kid. We'll be back. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. Meg Blackburn-Losey with us, The Children of Now Evolution. Meg, a lot of kids are afraid to go to sleep at night. They're just petrified. You know, they think there's something under the bed, something in the closet. What's creating those fears?
I'm so glad you asked that question because a lot of kids experience this and a lot of parents don't know what to do about it. One of the gifts that these kids have, among many, is the ability to see people in the spirit world or even other realities. They do exist. And it's an interesting phenomenon at night, particularly in their bedrooms and for some odd reason in the bathroom. I haven't figured that one out yet. But spirit people from the spirit world know these children are sensitive, and so they come and talk to them. I saw one report of a little girl who kept meeting a guy named, I believe his name was George, actually, in the backyard when she would go out on the swing, and he would come and talk to her. And it turned out that he was the man who used to live in the house where she was growing up.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. And but when this happens at night, the kids are in bed. They're supposed to feel safe. And all of a sudden, Grandma or Uncle Milton or somebody's coming and talking to them. And they don't know who these people are. They're long gone. And it frightens them. Sometimes they don't say anything. They just stand there because they're just watching the child, you know, they're actually caring for the child. There are other different kinds of realities that pop in and out, and it can be anywhere from ETs to other dimensional beings. They all exist in some reality, you know, and they come and they just stand and observe the children. Because these kids, like I said, they're very high frequency. So as soon as they're born into this world, it's kind of like a clarion call to other realities that says, hey, humans are doing this new thing, and we want to see what it is. So when the children are more relaxed, it's easier to access them at night, just like it is for most people, but more so for them. And they see them, and sometimes they look very dark, or sometimes they look very different. And these kids are just absolutely terrified. And the problem is a lot of parents don't realize that this is actually a real phenomenon. And they say, oh, it's not real. They'll go away. Well, they don't. And the thing to do is ask the child to ask if someone comes like that, is there something you want to tell me? Is there a message for someone that I can give for you? Or will you just go away? The kids have the power to say, you know, buzz off, but they don't know that. And there was, for a while, I had one boy who had these really strange-looking beings. There were four of them by his bed every night, and he said they looked a lot like dogs. They had very strange, like, Shar-Pei-type faces. And then after that, there was another group that came. He was particularly gifted, and he had quite a menagerie coming and going, and it was always a bathroom and always a bedroom, and that's what I always hear. And so that's what's really going on. It's not that they're making this up. It's just that they don't know what to do with this reality because it's not part of our normal everyday 3D reality, so to speak.
Huh. When you put the title of this book together, The Children of Now Evolution, explain that.
You know, George, we're in a fast-forward evolution of human nature. We've got intelligence from all of the input we're getting. We've had a lot of planetary alignments that contributed to how energy is working in our world these days. And we've got kids that are being born very high frequency. And because of all of that, our consciousness and our intelligence are evolving fast-forward. I think on some days faster than we even know how to keep up with it. And as that occurs, we're seeing this particularly in our children, because like I said, we're the bridge generation. We were the ones that passed the 100th monkey syndrome several years ago. You know, when enough people do the same thing, then everybody starts to have those traits. And it's just a scientific fact. Well, that's what's happening with our children. We had a few stragglers that came in early when I wrote the earlier book, and I didn't realize what a huge thing this was going to turn out to be. And so with that higher consciousness, the higher frequency construct of their bodies and their beingness, they're actually quite sentient. And what I mean by that is they don't use just their normal five senses, you know, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, that kind of thing. They're using their entire bodies in order to gain information. And because of that, it's not a mental thing. It's kind of like osmosis. It's like they absorb everything around them. And in doing that, their minds have learned to work differently than ours does. We think very linearly, you know, A plus B equals C. They're all over the map. In fact, they're all over the cosmos. And they're gleaning little fractals of information all throughout the day, and they're filing them away in their minds. And at the same time, all of that builds up in their bodies, and they have to move around to shake it off. It's a natural part of their process. And as that happens, that's when they start being labeled ADD, ADHD, you know, bipolar, God help us all, but that's really what's going on. In fact, they're just being who they are because they need to move around. They feel everything everyone's feeling. They feel their motivations, and they know what's true, and if you tell them an untruth, they will call you on it. It's remarkable to have been a part of this for a number of years and watch the evolution. When I first started, I came in on the early part of the crystalline kids, and their energy fields were like searchlights, and they were jewel tone colors of rich golds and forest green and indigo blue and deep violet, that kind of thing. And over time, their energy systems have refined, and those colors got lighter and lighter. And instead of being so chaotic, those fields started to expand rather than be so, you know, back and forth kind of action. Their fields started to expand, and the colors started to lighten. And as that occurred, so did their consciousness and the giftedness that these kids are bringing into the world. I'm talking telepathy, kinetic abilities, telekinesis. I'm talking natural healing abilities.
Now, were their parents gifted too?
Not always, and often not. And the children will say that they've picked the parents that they've picked for different reasons. One of the reasons is because they know that those parents are going to challenge them and make them strong from the dysfunction. I mean, kids have actually said that. Or they'll say, I picked you because I knew I wasn't going to be okay and you would really take good care of me. Or I picked you as my mom because I knew you'd get me because you could hear me. And those moms often hear their children talking to them before they're conceived or even or born when they're carrying them. The kids will often name themselves. It's a crazy thing. But over time, these kids have refined to the point, and that's why there's so much confusion about what are these kids, which category are they? Well, first of all, I'm not into labeling them. I used words in the first book because I was trying to describe a phenomenon that I barely understood, but it was so fascinating, and there were so many people asking about it. I did the best I could languaging it. But there's so many overlaps in the different types of kids and abilities that you've got to be kind of astute, you know, what you're labeling them. And I don't want people to do that. What I want to do is create an awareness of this because we're hurting them. We're hurting them in our environments. We're hurting them in school. We're hurting them with what they're eating. And we're hurting them in the name of health. And we have got to get our act together and stop living in a world that's based on morals and social mores that are over 100 years old. You know, this is a different world, and our children are different. They're leap years ahead. Go talk to any 9-year-old or 7-year-old, anyone.
Oh, they're way ahead. Way
oh, my
ahead.
Gosh.
Technology's done it. I mean, I see kids now, not that they should be putting smartphones or cell phones up to their head, mm-hmm. but I see them playing video games on phones. They know where all the buttons are. I mean, you could just hand it to them. They figure it out in 5 minutes.
They're better than
we couldn't do that. So how do they get so quickly and so intelligent?
Because it's a really wonderful thing that's happening. It's a paradox. With intelligence, with higher intelligence, also comes higher consciousness. The two go hand in hand beyond a point. When certain parts of the brain and DNA start kicking in together, our DNA is our coding. You know, it's part of, it's what says what we look like, how our body reacts, and even how we respond in the world. And it learns, and it adjusts, and it changes, not only physically, but it learns how to express itself differently. And every DNA strand has a field of light around it, just like our bodies do. It's measurable, and you can check with cutting-edge science, and they'll tell you it's true. So our DNA is evolving along with our bodies, and we're actually becoming something different. I mean, I don't know what that looks like ultimately, but I can tell you we're not the same people that people were in the 50s. And it's really evident in the children, because as the intelligence evolves, this is where we have a paradox. Technology is doing that. On the other hand, so does consciousness. We become aware of more possibilities. And when we do, and when our children do, they are able to go places in their being, in their minds, in their expressiveness, in what they can imagine as possible than we ever could, because they have that combination. You know, the problem is our psychology is far outrun by our technology right now. And that's what we started to talk about, you know, in the first segment, was how this is desensitizing these kids to the point where they're feeling very insignificant. There's so much out there. It's a big world. There's so many people. I mean, there's so many actresses and actors and singers, and just there's so much that's out there saying this is what it looks like to be successful. And here are these kids with these deep, deep feelings and this great intelligence trying to figure out how they fit. So several things happen. One, they get a low self-esteem.
Right.
Seriously low self-esteem. They get depressed even. Some of them even hurt themselves or get into self-abusive things like drugs and alcohol, and sadly even suicide. And some of them create fantasy worlds inside. And that's what we're seeing acted out, you know, as kids come forward and they blow away people just on a whim, or they go hunting just to kill somebody for fun. They're being desensitized by the very technology that's contributing to who they are. They don't understand, and I mentioned this just before the break, I just wanted to kind of complete that if you don't mind.
Yeah, please.
They're losing that interpersonal connection. They don't understand that dead is dead, and the human being is a valuable thing, and they don't get up when they fall down, you know, or how when they hide behind the technologies, the Facebook pages, the different things, the Instagram, everything they do. They even have some now that they can post something that only lasts for so many seconds, so they can do really mean things. And there's no evidence of it. So the technology is allowing for a lot of cruelty that we would have never, ever, ever even considered. And most adults don't even know what's going on until it's too late. So, you know, it comes back to needing to really be into that interpersonal relationship, getting those kids to communicate, getting them to bring what's going on inside of them out, and not waiting till they're 15 or 16 to try and do it, because by then it's too late. We've got to really work on because here's the deal. Kids that are sensitive, like the ones we're talking about, George, they start internalizing. They get socialized when they start to go to school, and at about age 7 or 8 or 9, they start to forget some of the very cool stuff that they could do because they're not allowed to be who they are. And as they get socialized, then they start turning corners in different directions. It's got some very beautiful bright sides, where my own granddaughter's one of these kids. She's 2 years ahead in high school. She's going to graduate next year with an associate's degree and a high school degree simultaneously. And she'll, and when things happen at school, for instance, they're very socially conscious. And for instance, the kids were all kind of messing around and the teacher kind of lost it.
Mm-hmm.
And called some of the parents, and my granddaughter's mom was working. She hadn't got the call, and one of the other parents called her and said, "What happened?" And she said, "I'll tell you what happened. You need to get Miss So-and-so to get her act together because she doesn't have control of her class." And that's how they are.
She lost it.
She lost it. And that's what my granddaughter said, and that's very typical. They're quite aware of how we struggle with who they are. And they're willing to do their part, but they also really don't function well without good framework.
Is there anything supernatural about these children, or are they just special?
Both. And by the way, George, I think all kids are special. I just really
I
like
do
to
too.
Say that.
I think all people are special.
Everybody in my book is. You know, these kids. You can call them special because they're so different than we are. And you can call them supernatural because I have seen amazing things. The way I got introduced to the first set of these kids were the ones I call the beautiful silent ones. And they were projecting their consciousness in the form of orbs that you could actually catch in pictures. And each one had its own identity. Each orb had a different pattern, some of them mathematic formulas, some of them fractal geometry. It varied from child to child. And I started hearing them, and I thought I was losing it. You know, I'm pretty gifted myself, so weird is okay. And I tend to go right to what's weird, but this was beyond it. I mean, my head was full of little voices. And I thought, how is this possible? And I said telepathically, if you guys are real, start showing up, because I feel kind of on crazy zone right now. And sure enough, over the next several months, I met every one of them, and I would be contacted by their parents, and their parents would say, my child wants you to work with them. They've been talking to you. And I'd start laughing. I'd say, okay, which one is this? Because, they were obviously different voices and different attitudes and different sentiments. And, you know, and that was my first introduction, that and the high frequency aspects of the energy field, because of the touching the light work that I've been doing for years. And so I'm always so careful to validate what I put out in the world, because crazy is crazy and supernatural is very different. And it's a fine line sometimes, because how do you prove it? You know, but I met these people, and I talked to them, and I worked with their kids, and in some cases was actually able to help them in many ways improve the experience they and their children were having. And I started to network them so that they didn't know they were alone. But that was my introduction supernaturally to this incredible thing. And then as time went on, I met children who were able to, you know, utilize telekinesis, moving things with their mind. It isn't really their mind, it's their whole energy field. But I knew children that touched people, and those people were healed. I knew one little girl who couldn't speak at all, but three people that got around her quit smoking immediately, and she didn't speak, couldn't speak. And yet, amazing things happen around these kids. I would think that's quite supernatural.
Yeah, they have magic, I'll tell you that. We're going to be back with you in a moment, Meg. We'll take some phone calls in your final hour here on Coast to Coast AM. That's all you got to do. You'll hear those numbers when we come right back.